Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and happy to bring you this two-part episode, an interview with Jill Miller. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this episode, and yes, I say I'm excited a lot, but Jill is an extraordinarily talented woman, and this episode and her book, which is called The Role Model Method, don't let the title fool you. I'm looking at the book as I share this intro with you. The Role Model is a step-by-step guide to erase pain, improve mobility, and live better in your body. So this is for men and women listening. This is for men and women that are either already working out and maybe experiencing pain or maybe having some issues with working out because of pain earlier or from injury. This is for people that haven't started working out yet, that maybe want to start off right and learn to prevent pain and certainly learn how to treat themselves like they should be treated with self-care. So just to read a little bit about Jill and give you a preview before we get started, this is on the back of her book. So I'm not paraphrasing. This is Jill Miller. She is the co-founder of Tune Up Fitness Worldwide and the creator of the corrective exercise format, Yoga Tune-Up, and the Role Model Method. And by the way, when we say role model, it's R-O-L-L. With more than 28 years of study in anatomy and movement, she is a pioneer in forging relevant links between the world of fitness, yoga, massage, and pain management. She's presented case studies at the Fascia Congress, I didn't even know that existed, and the International Symposium of Yoga Therapists, and is a regular at fitness conferences worldwide. I could go on and on and on. This book is, when I got it, not only is it visually appealing and visually educational so that you can learn a lot about your anatomy and your bone structure and how to roll and provide self-care for yourself to manage pain, but also just to help yourself become better agile, I'm going to say it, more mobile in your workouts. I'm not paraphrasing it as well as she would, but this is a power-packed interview. That's why we went so long. Certainly, I think you'll be like I am. At the end of this episode, you'll hear. We barely scratched the surface. I think this is a really important interview for everybody. You're going to learn about why this is so important. And this is something I did ask her at the end of the interview, you know, if this is something we want to incorporate, how long do we need to think about from a time perspective, incorporating this into our lifestyle? And it is something that can be done 20 minutes or less, even 10 minutes or less a day. So I'm excited for you all to learn. Tune into this two-part episode with Jill Miller. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and I'm here today with an outstanding, just amazing woman, Jill Miller, author of The Role Model. Jill, welcome to the show.
So psyched to be here, Kelly. Thank you.
I am, just to tell everybody, I probably need to find better words to say this because I start a lot of interviews going, I'm so excited about this interview. But seriously, everybody, I want to let you know, Jill sent me her book, which we're going to talk about at length today, and some of the products that you'll be able to find on her website. And again, we shared all that information in the introduction. You'll also see it detailed out on Fitfluential Radio, and we'll wrap up the show giving you links to this. But this is one of the best books I have seen. And some of these topics that we're talking about today are so important. You know, just to give you some bullet points before we dive in, we're going to be talking about pain, posture, performance. These things, like so many of the other topics we talk about on this show, affect everything. This is so important. And it's funny too, on a side note, Jill, I moved from Chicago to Austin recently. And one of the things I have not been able to do, I've been here about 5 weeks, and typically I go for a deep tissue massage every week. And I haven't done that. So I haven't been taking care of my body, not intentionally, but I haven't done that for about 4 or 5 weeks. And also haven't seen a chiropractor and haven't been doing my rolling out. And so when I got your book, I suddenly realized, I think I know why I'm in such discomfort. I found discomfort in my neck. It's affected my workouts. So this is very timely. And there's always people, even if you are a fitness enthusiast, a fitness fanatic, you kind of can get into a bad way of life. You can get off track. And so this is very important for everybody, whether you're a newbie or whether you are a seasoned fitness fanatic or a trainer. Jill is known for training trainers as well. We'll get into that. But let's start off, Jill. You know, there's a lot of folks that are not yet familiar with you. You obviously have years and years of experience, and I want to dive into the meat of your book and what you teach. But I'm just curious, I like to ask a lot of folks that are on the show, how did you personally get into a fit and healthy lifestyle? When was that?
Well, I was the chubby kid. I was the chubby kid. I was the reader. My sister was a Division I athlete. She was like such a killer soccer player and softball player and basketball player and all that. And some reason my parents just sort of polarized us and they're like, oh, you're the actress or you're the academic or I was anything but the active kid. And around age 11, I started becoming aware of my body and I was overweight. I was really short. I was 4'9" and I was just hitting 100 pounds. So I was definitely on the chub side of things, had really thick glasses too. So I was the whole package and I was in sixth grade. In the summer between sixth and seventh grade, I just stopped eating. I started starving myself and I became anorexic. Mm-hmm. And that was literally the moment when the switch flipped. And unfortunately, I got a psychiatric disorder. And I know that with Fitfluential, you all address this, you know, profusely. But that really was my entree into the fitness world. And I know that just sounds horrible, but my mother brought home the Jane Fonda workout.
And I remember.
Of course you do. I think we're in the same generation. She brought home the Jane Fonda workout and she brought home the Raquel Welch yoga video. She brought them both home and they were beta because that was the technology at the time. And I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I lived in a solar community off the grid. And so we didn't really have good TV reception. We had a satellite dish that never worked. So we watched a lot of videotapes and she brought home these videos and she stuck with it for about 2 weeks, but I became obsessed with these videos and I would race home every day after school and do them back to back. And that was really the beginning of my journey into my body and coupled with starving myself. And so my entry into the, you know, wellness or fitness or the lifestyle of healthy living was far from healthy because I was I was hurting inside in a major, major way. Mm-hmm. But the silver lining, not the gray lining, the silver lining was that it took me into an internal tour that finally has expressed itself in this 432-page book about self-soothing in a way that really supports your soft tissues, your nervous system, your emotional regulation system. And that's the bigger, broader lemonade that came out of the lemons of my eating disorder.
You know, I am glad that you brought that up. And for those folks listening, you know, we've talked about this before. We don't really script our interviews. We tell the folks that we're interviewing, generally speaking, you know, the line of questions, but our conversations here on the podcast tend to just flow. And so I didn't realize that Jill was going to bring that up, but let's get real. You know, we really want to keep things real on the podcast. And there are numerous eating disorders or just issues that people have. I talked about it in a couple of interviews last week where, you know, even when you just move forward into like a more clean eating and you realize how, you know, not eating maybe a lot of packaged foods, how much better you feel, you can get to this place. I'm dealing with it right now and I'm being very transparent with everybody. Like I get to the point where I get scared when I decide to like have my Pop-Tart, you know, cause yeah, I go rogue and I fantasize about Diet Mountain Dew. I can't lie. You know, people go, I can't believe that you still let, I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I wish I was, you know, Mary Poppins over there like you and that you don't crave anything, but sometimes I walk on the dark side and I want it. So it, you know, you can have eating disorders. It is common. I don't want anybody listening to the show to think you choose a healthy lifestyle and all of a sudden it's sunshine and roses and everything's happy. Like this is real talk. And even seasoned professionals, maybe they don't start with it like you did. But they can end up having disordered thought process. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I mean, obviously you're past that. And I'm curious, I don't know if there was a specific age frame or something that started turning your mind around. Was there something that was helpful for you in getting past that disordered eating early on or no?
Yes. So I went from, like I said, about 95 pounds to 65 pounds. Oh. I became so thin and, but I hid myself really well, or my parents didn't notice. They were going through their own divorces and moves and bankruptcies. I mean, it was chaos in my house. And so I just took it all out on myself. That's my way of getting control in an environment that was completely out of control. And nonetheless, I excelled in school. I did great. I ended up going to Northwestern University. I had a crazy great scholarship there. And my eating disorder, my anorexia ended, but my food obsession did not. And then it converted itself into bulimia. Mm-hmm. So I struggled with anorexia as a tween and an early teen. And then by the time I got to college, I was throwing up. And that lasted till I was a junior in college. In my freshman year of college, and I was studying dance and I was studying movement, I stumbled into an open house at a shiatsu studio. So shiatsu is a form of Japanese body work that mm-hmm. deals with pressure points and meridians. And it's very, very interesting body work. If you've never had it done, I'm a connoisseur of body work. I love it. And I adapt techniques in my role model methods for self-application of body work. But I walked into an open house and I think I volunteered to be the demo in the open house. I must have. And I remember when the expert, the owner, the teacher laid his hands on my abdomen, which is part of how this particular style of shiatsu starts, is they bring a palm onto the abdomen as a centering device. It's called the hara in this form of Japanese body work, or in Japanese, the center of your being is the hara. So he put his hand on my hara and I just remember the world stopped. Wow. And I felt a sense of peace and groundedness and depth of connection that I'd never felt with anything in my life. And I signed up right then and there. I did work study right then. Wow. And there. I was like, I'm sold. I've never felt like this in my life. And I need to know this feeling more, because that feeling of, and what I can say now is, oh, I was completely neurologically balanced. My parasympathetics were upregulated and it was able to quiet the chaos. And I felt a sense of peace. It brought me great peace. And so that was a turning point for me. I mean, I didn't stop throwing up still until my junior year of college, when I, longer story, is I ended up at a place in the upstate New York called the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies. And I was doing work study. I lived in a tent for an entire summer. And I have to say, living on the ground, I think, was one of the things that also changed my nervous system and helped me to heal from my eating disorder.
Wow.
And now when I look back, it's like, oh, everyone's like, oh, you should do grounding and this and that. I was like, oh, right. That's what I did. I lived on the ground for an entire summer and I was working not for money. I was working for energy exchange. And I met my mentor there. My mentor's name is Glenn Black, and he is an amazing human movement teacher and body worker. And I learned firsthand from him his techniques, his approach, his meditation style. And we are, he's still a teacher of mine to this day, 20 something years later. And so that really for me was the turning point, was diving into massage based and body based studies, body based therapies that created a dialogue from the chaos in my gut, the gut I was running away from, the gut I was throwing up, the gut that I was striking with my fist, the belly that I hated, the fat that I hated, into learning how to befriend myself and to do deep, deep physiological listening.
This is so, I mean, you said so many things here that I want to touch on, but I love that you brought up grounding. I love that you brought up that this didn't happen overnight. Your awareness of, hey, I'm not treating myself right, and that's affecting other things. And for everybody that's listening, let me just hit pause on my, you know, Q&A back and forth with Jill and say this. I know, because I've been that, you know, I always use myself as an example, like the crazy type A alpha female workaholic girl who thinks, you know, push, push, push. And if you can do, this is what we're going to talk about later too, is overtraining and just overdoing it and how you injure your body. Sure. I'm that girl. I mean, Kevin, incidentally, he went to Northwestern too.
Oh, hey, Kevin.
Yeah. So Kevin is my co-host on the show. He's also, you know, I call him my health coach, my life coach, my, you know, whatever. He's the one that's kind of always looking at me going, yeah, that workout that you're trying to do at the gym for like 180 minutes, not necessary, Kelly. And I'm like, no, let me just do a burnout set. Let me do this. He's like, why are you even calling it a burnout set? Like, I am so prone to extreme. And I noticed one of the words in your book, and you mentioned it earlier, is self-care. Mm-hmm. And that's a big topic. So for everybody listening, if you're a fitness newbie, or maybe, you know, we have a lot of runners and cyclists, endurance athletes out there, CrossFitters, I mean, you name it, across the board. It's very easy to hear words like self-care and grounding and think, that doesn't apply to me. I don't need that. I got news for you. Everyone needs to become aware of how you treat yourself, how you treat your body, because a lot of us, we tend to get in that punishment mode and we push it too far. We're burning the candle at both ends. And you don't realize, again, what I said at the beginning of the show, everything is interactive, everything is intertwined, and everything affects everything. And you can run on empty for only so long, right? Before things start to fall apart. So number one, Jill, I love that you shared that it was this shiatsu that started to build your awareness of like, I need to calm down. I'm not in a good place. But also, it wasn't something overnight. You didn't say, oh, I just read this book and 2 weeks later, I'm better. There's a lot of that kind of crap out there in social media on fitness. You know, when I go to, I don't know about you, but do you ever go to Pinterest and see these, you know, pins that are like, you can get, you know, 20 pounds lighter in 10 days by doing, you know, oil and vinegar only. And you see it and you're like, oh my God, especially someone like you as a trainer. Do you see a lot of that type of crazy misinformation that just makes your head pound?
It's all over the place. Absolutely. And because I went through it, because I spent 9-10 years in the trenches of this disease. And by the way, anorexia and bulimia are the leading cause of death for teenage women. So I'm very sensitive to this topic, and I'm very sensitive to the messaging that goes out to especially young women. I don't know that I was susceptible to that line of bullshit. Can I say that on your podcast?
Yes, you can. We do.
That I was, I just spelled it out.
Was awesome.
I don't know why I did that, because I have a 2.5-year-old and I have a 7-week-old. And so I'm busy spelling out curse words right now.
That's funny.
What was I saying? I think I was able to sense my way through that early on, because I have a high bullshit meter. So much of this was a war with myself, and also just trying to break away from my family and trying to break away. So when I see messaging like that, it really does piss me off, but I sidestep it and I don't really parse my way through it. I just try to elevate the conversation and say, well, what are we really hungry for? Why are we so dissatisfied with ourselves? Like, have you spent time befriending yourself? Like there's a lot of messages that go, I think, like so over the top, like just love yourself, just be happy. And it's like, you know, you really can't get there until you do the small steps. Like when you have a new neighbor, if you're so over the top with cookies and cakes and let me do everything for you, you know, it kind of pushes them. It kind of freaks them out a little bit. And so how do you coax your way into a relating relationship that's durable, that has longevity, and that has ups and downs? Like that's what I worked on with myself. And that's what I still work on with myself and with my nuclear family. Like there's going to be bad times and there's going to be good times and there's going to be like ecstatic times. But I really try to work because I am so type A too, Kelly. Like I've had to really like train myself to, for that moderation, that less can be more, that, you know, that light touch can actually impact your nervous system more quickly than deep touch, that whispering can be more effective than shouting, you know, all of these things to help scale myself away from my inner desire for extremes. And then I do have those extreme outlets. Like I dance like a total banshee, crazy person. And, you know, I find my ways of expressing myself. Like I didn't write a 10 page pamphlet. I wrote a 432 page book. I've created 8 different teacher trainings, you know, within my system. So I am very extreme and I'm writing my second book and I just had my second baby. Like, I mean, that's crazy amounts of output. So in terms of trying to find balance, I really had to look at where I was tipping the scales. And so I encourage people to, you know, if you see those messages and you start to feel twinges inside, that you actually need to look inside and not hit the next click. It's Absolutely. Not about going to the next image, but it's about really asking yourself, well, why does that make me feel uneasy?
It's so true. And, you know, I know if we're even remotely close, I'm 47 in the same, I mean, we're talking about Jane Fonda and VHS tapes, but, you know, I remember it's so funny that, and don't worry, guys that are listening, we're going to hop into the good, the meat of this and the
muscles.
We'll
talk about barbells for sure.
Yeah. We're going to get into, we'll get away from like the female, femme only type of the conversation, but this is important. So, because also, you know, eating disorders happen on the male side as well. I mean, this is certainly not relegated to females, but it is rampant. And what I do love about, I'm going to say, this time that we're in, and certainly we hope to encourage this conversation with Fitfluential platforms and the podcast, is it's becoming more acceptable for females to embrace their own shape and not try to look like celebrity A, B, or C that's on television or on the soap operas or in the magazines. It certainly is going to take a while for maybe the fashion industry to catch up and not use models that look like, you know, an emaciated, dying, you know, person who needs to, you know, just go on something and eat pizza for like a year to recover. But there seems to be a healthier conversation. Thank God for like Beyonce and J-Lo and maybe even our friend Kim Kardashian, who just brought like curves are okay. And it doesn't mean you have to look up to those people. But I've had a lot of strong women on the show that it's no longer like, I don't know about you, Joe, when I was growing up, it was all about being skinny. And I've always had a curvy figure. And I grew up, if you look at my pictures from college, all I ever wore were big blazers because I wanted to cover up my boobs and cover up my butt. And I wanted to cover up being as curvy as possible. And that's not what we should be doing. We're not trying to morph ourselves into looking like someone else. We should embrace who we are. Do you think in your observation that even though we have this crazy, unrealistic stuff on that does sadly still permeate social media, it seems like the conversation is becoming a little bit more like be comfortable who you are, embrace your shape and be proud of it. Do you see that starting to become a little bit more common?
I do see it. And it's probably because I push that conversation. And so I when people come into my courses, especially I have a course called the Core Immersion, the Yoga Tune-Up Core Immersion. And I even have a video called Gorgeous, and it's on the cover. I deliberately made myself look as strawberry cupcake gorgeous as we possibly could with a bare midriff. And it's not typically the thing I go for. I don't usually go for the beauty thing, but I did it. And then boom, as soon as you watch the video, I start talking about eating disorders and disordered eating. And that if you're into chiseling and ripping yourself to shreds, this is not the video for you, because this is a video about integrating yourself as a whole and teaching you body sense and body perception, not aesthetic. I don't teach aesthetic-based fitness. I teach body sense-based fitness. I'm obsessed with proprioception, which is your body sense. And then finer than that, physiological listening, which I call interoception, which is being able to interpret some of the internal messages from your organs, your sense of appetite, some of the fear perception that you have in your body, attuning yourself to feeling in your body so that you can function in your body, so that you can, and our tagline for my yoga tune-up program is called live better in your body, not look better in your body. By the way, looking better in your body is a byproduct of you being at peace with yourself and being willing to play, not continuously being at war with yourself. And so I want to create unity. And I know this sounds like, it kind of sounds hokey pokey, airy fairy, but this is physiologically grounded in you. And so you can either continue to go to the extremes and be in that war, or you can find common ground inside your own tissues. And one of the tissues that really helps you to find that common ground is your soft tissue system, your fascial tissue. And this is something that I have deep interest in and have been working in this space for a really long time.
This is, and actually I remember that just before, and I'm pulling the book out, so if you guys hear rustling over here, that's what I'm looking at. You have a really great, and again, we'll link this up in the show, people, but Jill's book, The Role Model, A Step-by-Step Guide to Erase Pain, Improve Mobility, and Live Better in Your Body, is outstanding. I could tell just from looking at it, it has so many colorful, outstanding visuals, both from a physiological perspective, showing how the muscles in your body are made up and the bones in your body. And then some great demos from you. I can see you that you're in here. There's stories. I mean, let's get real. There's a lot of folks in this profession that publish a great book that it might have great content, but we're visual people. I mean, you need to see demonstrations of what you're talking about here. We're going to dive into that in 2 seconds. But, you know, I just think it makes a book so much more readable if it's not like an encyclopedia. So you've done that very, very well. But, you know, one of the things that you talked about there is, you know, yoga tune-up. And I want to, before we dive into this conversation and details, everybody that's listening, you know, we do talk a lot about yoga on the show and how the benefits for your body, for men and women. And I always know there's a lot of men out there that are like, yoga, shmoga, you know, talk about lifting. Yoga is good for everybody, but this is not just about yoga. So when you hear that, don't tune this out. You, every single man and woman out there that wants to be healthy and live, you're not just worried about how you look, like Jill said, that I'm so glad you brought that up. This is how you feel. This is about longevity and being able to run around and get better as you age versus, oh, it's all downhill after age 30, or, oh, it's all downhill. I've heard all those. I've heard it's downhill after age 30. I've heard it's downhill after age 25. I've heard it's downhill after 40, you know, any number of excuses. It's not. You can actually be getting better as you age if you pay attention to the whole picture. So number one, I think that's a really good introduction into starting to talk about what's in your book and all of this body work and why it's important, is that fitness and being fit and healthy, it should be compartmentalized, because this is about your whole life and how you live and function. And so do you have a lot of folks that discover you, Jill, that you find are compartmentalizing fitness? In other words, they think, I'm going to go, you know, I need to get healthier, so I'm going to go get a gym membership. I'm going to start punishing myself with a diet. I'm going to be really extreme. They always start on a Monday, right? And they're like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do excessive cardio. And then they put that off. Like the rest of their life, nothing changes. They're still going to go to happy hour. They're still going to have bad practices. And they think like fitness is relegated to 1 hour a day. Whereas I think your approach is more holistic. It's more about life and living, like you said, versus just the aesthetic. Is that something you observe in a lot of folks that come to you, or just in general?
Oh my God. How, there was 94 questions in what you just said, Kelly. You're so unfair. Okay. Because there was like, there was like the men question. There was the yoga in there. There was the like, what do you do with the broken people? So there's so many different things. I do want to address the men thing because we love men. Like this is a human movement. This is the human movement. This is not like male or female. This is not about vaginas or penises. Like this is about you living better in your body, period. And it's not about shapes. It's not about architecture. It's about body, you being able to actually sense yourself. And you can't sense yourself because you have overtrained, you have undertrained, you have abused, you have emotional blocks that are preventing you from actually sensing your tissues. And you're like, no, I feel the burn. It's like, well, what you're feeling is the pump of potentially building a lot of scar tissue that is creating muscle imbalances. And I like to get the pump as much as the next person. But what are you doing to help recover both the agonist and antagonist relationship and the synergist and what was really dominating that event? And so what I have with my programs with Yoga Tune-Up and with a role model are ways for people to improve their ability to map themselves so that they fully embody their body. Because there are these blind spots that we literally tunnel over through our training or through our lifestyle that could hold the key to actually improving your performance, that could hold the key to getting better sleep, that could hold the key to you not having a click in your knee every time you squat down to pick your kids' toys up off the floor. So these body blind spots are these areas that we go after in these programs. And again, it doesn't discriminate male or female. And I can tell you, what I can tell you is that me and my team work with a lot of professional sports teams. I mean, top of the food chain sports teams that I am not allowed to mention, but these are, you know, you see them on the NFL, you see them on the NHL, you see them on the NBA, and you see them on, oh shoot, what's baseball? It's going to kill me.
You're asking the wrong girl here.
I just had a kid, like I said, 7 weeks ago. And so some of my, I can't remember what's baseball. Help me.
Major
MLB.
League?
MLB, thank you. Yeah. MLB.
I can't believe I knew that.
That's embarrassing. That's just, I'm going to be punished by people now. But so we're all over the place. And I feel like we're like these little rubber drugs. We're a secret weapon that is helping improve performance across all spectra of athletic performance down to chronic pain. So let me address that thing that you see people compartmentalizing their fitness. I do think that we are in a paradigm shift, and you were alluding to it sort of in the question before this question, but we are in a paradigm shift. And I know that because I have a program running now at 24-Hour Fitness. I know that because I have a program running at Equinox Fitness Clubs. I know that because YogaWorks has also brought me in to develop programming for them. And that means, and if these major chains are bringing me in to create programming for them, that means that these major chains that influence every division of the fitness consumer from, you know, very affluent to lower middle income fitness consumer, that the time is now for an integrative fitness model instead of this sort of part and parcel workout till you break down model. Yeah. And the reason I created Yoga Tune Up is I saw people breaking down. And I also saw people in the yoga community breaking down because they didn't understand really how the anatomy and physiology of their bodies truly worked in the context of movement. So even though yoga is in the title, the reason yoga is in the title is it actually gives us a chance to slow the F down in the context of a class or a session so that we can take the time to map our way slowly and intelligently and consciously through our tissues so that we know our bodies better. We can use it better in the context of whatever fitness output or movement output or day-to-day living output that we're trying to feel better in. Because people are in pain. I mean, that is a given. And nobody doesn't have some little complaint. And that some little complaint probably can be rewired, reframed, and re-experienced so that there is no feedback in that pain sector within their own body.
I love that you just brought that up too, because it's such a simple statement, but so many people that are listening are like, I used to be, and there's certain chronic issues. People just, I think they write it off. They're like, everybody has it. Sleep problems, lower back pain, you know, arthritis type conditions, or symptoms. And they just write it off. They think it's, you know, they either don't want to look into it. They don't want to understand their own body, or they think they can't. Every one of these people should be buying your book. Obviously I'm going to be a heavy push. I'm totally biased. I've only had it for a short time, but it's amazing. And we'll get into all of your other products too. But, if you have pain, mm-hmm. understanding your body is, that is the first step. And I remember one time, you know, going for a massage, and my gal up in Chicago, Julie, who's actually going to be on the show. I remember she'd work on my legs, and she would say something about, you know, the fascia or this bone. And then I would want to go out after the massage, and she would observe something about my body. And she would go, well, this is what's happening now that you're lifting heavier, and you've got to be aware of this. And then she'd show me on the anatomy charts. And I was fascinated by it. And for those of you, again, that haven't picked up this book, you will become so, you'll be amazed when you look through this book. And she's done such a great job at explaining. Again, I referenced right before the show, you have this illustration of how to describe fascia, and mm-hmm. you're using an orange. And you know what? I don't know if it's gonna, do you think it would translate if you kind of explain that on audio, or is that really stupid for me to bring that up? Because a lot of people listening are like, what's fascia? Is it possible, you think, to share that verbally, or should we just link to that in the notes? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I'm happy to discuss fascia on audio. I do it frequently.
Okay.
Can I say something right before? I want to address one thing right
Absolutely.
Before I talk about fascia, which is getting to know your anatomy typically happens either because you want to improve performance or because you got busted. Right? You broke something and something hurts. And finally, you're like, let me just look at what this is. Mm-hmm. And then when you start investigating your anatomy, you look under the hood and you start looking at the soft tissues and the hard tissues and their continuities, the way they interconnect. It's this amazing journey, this amazing, my friend Gil Headley, who's one of my anatomy mentors, I do dissection labs with him. He calls his students somanauts. So instead of being an astronaut, you're a somanaut. You're diving into inner space and really going on an investigation where no one else has gone before, because your anatomy is so unique to you. And so we look at these pictures and we look at these books, but ultimately you have to process and sense from inside out how you work. And so a massage therapist can help you with that. Of course, it's very expensive mm-hmm. to rely on them all the time. And that's why I have soft tissue tools that can help. And then also imagery, pictures, stories, and sequences that help bring people into their tissues. I really, really believe that what that does is it takes you away from the fear of your body, because when bodies hurt, when you hurt, there's a part of you that goes into that fear response, and you mistrust yourself. Your body mistrusts itself because your coordination levels diminish. Part of what pain does is it messes up with your sensory motor cortex. And so by doing things in a way that builds your own body trust, you are going to have more confidence in yourself, like on an emotional level, but you're also going to have more confidence and competence with your physical output and your performance.
That's so true. And I'm interrupting you, but I love everything you said, especially when you mentioned every single person, your DNA is unique. Your body is unique. You have to get to know your own signals in your own body. So amen to that. Continue with the fascia.
Great. Let's continue with the fascia.
So, girl.
That fascia, I like to call it your seam system. Basically, it's the stitches that interconnect you throughout your body. And your fascia is comprised of different fibers, collagen and elastin. And it's also comprised of a lot of fluid. And Tom Myers, who's a very beloved fascia dude. oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
I'm so sorry, I need to zip it.
he calls it your body's wetsuit. And I like that a lot. And so I go one step a little bit more even micro and call it your seam system. So these are the stitches that suspend your individual muscle cells. Your individual muscle cells are bundled together by more fascia And that's called a fascicle or fascicle. And if you've ever studied any, you know, muscle anatomy, you've heard of fascicles. And then fascicles are bound together by even more fascia. And this is what's illustrated in the book by that. It's actually a tangerine, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
It's a tangerine. I know, but it's like, it looks like an orange. It's a tangerine. So your fascicles are bounded together by even more fascial tissues. And then that becomes a myofascial structure. So most of your listeners, I'm sure, at this point have heard of myofascia. And basically, all myofascia is it's a muscle, but it's breaking down the word even more technically and saying, oh, it's a collection of myo, of protein, and fascia, the seams of that, of those proteins. And so you have myofascia, you have a muscle. Each layer of these wrappings should have some amount of movement betwixt and amongst. And this we refer to as slide and glide. So there should be movement within, from the smallest division of your muscle, the actual muscle cell, the myofibril, to the muscle bundles, to the bundles moving amongst each other, and then to larger myofascial structures moving amongst the seams between them. And when we get stiffness and stuckness because of an injury or overuse or underuse, we start to have limits in our range of motion. And sometimes what happens is the fascial tissues, because they're not being stimulated to move enough, they will actually glue themselves to each other. And that is what's known as an adhesion. And when we have adhesions, that will ultimately stifle your range of motion in a local area, and that will cascade into a larger global movement issue for your whole body, because inevitably you have to work your way around that adhesion. You have to work your way around by compensating. So I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the concept of muscle imbalances and compensation, but really this is how it happens when you don't have an adequate or an appropriate amount of movement within your fascial tissues in a local area. It catapults into a larger global lack of coordination issue. And of course, within these areas, it's not just some inert thing. There are blood vessels, there are nerves. And so we start to miss the feedback, the information in these adhesed areas. And that's when we start to have these coordination issues. So I really want people to be able to liberate that so that they have a better ability to listen to their body, to their proprioception, their body sense, and then their finer listening skills, their interoception, to get a more refined sense of inner listening, of physiological listening. And I do this through the ball work and through different movement patterns.
I'm so excited to dive into this. And I'm so excited for everybody listening. If they're in pain, in discomfort, if it's affecting their workouts or maybe athletic training, to learn about this, because it can look so simple when you see one of these, you know, the little balls, right? And you're like, how in the hell is this going to do? Am I supposed to juggle this? Like, what's going on here? It is amazing.
I hope so. I hope you can also juggle. That would be amazing. I can't.
That would be like a bad viral YouTube video of me trying to juggle, among other things.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.